Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, I have my old friend Eve Lorgan back on the show. We have a lot of issues to discuss, not least of which is the current state of UFO alien investigations and how it's been re-subverted. I can't really say it's been subverted because it's been subverted so many times in the past. We're just seeing variations, new iterations, if you will, of that subversion. So we're going to talk around that as well as talk about possible solutions. Without any further ado, dear friend Evie, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Well, thank you, James. It's always a pleasure to speak with you again. And we always seem to have a lot to talk about once we start talking. So I'll just let you open up with things you've noticed and what you think is going on. And then I'll just kind of chime in with what trends I'm discovering in my own way with the work I'm doing. Yeah.
Well, there always seems to have been this split, this dichotomy between, certainly between the service level types and people like us, because, they can't see the bigger picture. They can't see the non-human alien control factor behind all of this. And then when you get into the field, the UFO alien investigations field, you see further splits. There are still people to this day who are Pollyannas. They only want to see the positive side of things. They only want to see how everything is hunky-dory and we're all on the path to ascension. They don't seem to be aware of all the machinations on the surface, which are alien-inspired. Certainly the last few years have shown that. And we also see the abortive attempts at getting this information out in Congress, because what we're seeing now is the aerospace corporations are circling the wagons, very much an example once again of the tail wagging the dog. So they've circled the wagons, they have their placed men, placed women in Congress, and now they're denigrating, rubbishing the whole subject of UFOs and aliens. There are people that are prominent in the conspiracy truth field, so-called, that are quote unquote skeptical about some of Gorsh's claims. And to me, that's bewildering, because if you're skeptical of Gorsh's claims, that means you don't know about Roswell, you don't know about Kingman, you don't know about Aztec New Mexico, you don't know about South Haven Park, Long Island, all these crash retrievals, right? I don't see what's so far-fetched about Gorsh's claims. They're actually tip of the iceberg kind of thing. But there are prominent people in our field, or kind of in our field, that are being skeptical, a healthy skepticism towards what Gorsh is saying. And what Gorsh is saying, like I said, is the tip of the iceberg. So we're having, once again, all this division, all these fault lines. Certainly the whole surface level, well, I wouldn't say the whole, but a large segment of the surface level truth community has been co-opted. They were there to be co-opted all along. But it's the old, oh, they're all just demons. No real aliens, no recovered alien craft, there's no recovered alien bodies, they're just demons. And this is in complete obliviousness to the great work of Pierre Sabbagh, who's proven, absolutely proven through a study of ancient Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, et cetera, the heavenly host refers to invading alien armies. The concept of celestial vessels, angelic sailors, that all has to do with aliens, and specifically with reptilians, if you track it back to the etymology. So what we're seeing is, once again, the way it's always been, this lack of a unified front, which I'm not going to hold out any hope that there's ever going to be a unified front. There's always going to be limitations. Some people are always going to have their limitations. They're just never going to be able to see big picture due to these limitations. Does that make them controlled opposition and make them a useful tool, useful idiot perhaps? But consciously, they may not be a controlled opposition, but de facto they are. Okay. So I know that's kind of a lot to unpack, but I'd like your thoughts on that, because what I'm seeing also is a lot of the same pathologies, a lot of the same mindset. If you go to a streaming free channel like Tubi, TUBI, there are heaps of UFO documentaries on there, but a lot of the alien contactees, abductees, The interview are the exact same ones who keep preaching the alien love and light, the Galactic Federation, Galactic Council, all this other stuff. They seldom, if ever, get people like you on there talk about the real hardcore stuff, and there's a reason behind that. They want to keep what's going on the surface, all these machinations towards global control, depopulation, et cetera, they want to keep that separated from the non-human alien control system that's actually behind it. So, I like your thoughts, Evie. Take it any which way you want to go.
Yeah, there's several areas, but since you mentioned Pierre Sabbat and his word, his etymology root word meanings that decode history and the meanings, there's someone else that I've been actually been a friend with for some years, who has been studying parallel to that. Really, is Parse, syntax, grammar in our contracts, claims, and even our laws. That, for example, the maritime law, like what's his name? Jordan Maxwell talks about a lot of this. But what's happening with language, that it has been corrupted so that we speak and negate life and truth and freedom and our innate nature as eternal beings in a human body. So, for example, the way that the spirit of death is basically spoken over us through the manipulation of language and law is with the maritime law and also the birth certificate, and how they lay claim of actually death over us as dead at sea by 7 years of age. And some of the people who are in that movement with the sovereign law, like David Windmiller, Russell Gould, David Strait, my friend Henrik Jensen of Denmark has own courses where he is really brilliant at decoding language and how we're actually spell casting ourselves through language and how we speak and even how we think with what we think are the true meanings of words in the Parsi and syntax and grammar. So, that just is a whole new way of understanding. Well, yes, they are speaking the spirit of death over us. This is a constant spell casting of the illusion of the Luciferic umbrella, run by the ones who have invaded, with primarily the reptilian signature or appearance. But I think that they can take many appearances and forms depending on what they want to do and their agendas. And they can come in real bodies, corporeal bodies, human skin suits that look like humans or other forms. So that's something that I want to say and actually confirm, that lies are spoken. So we speak our own lies. So to kind of go along with why we see that, how come people don't see this? Why are there gatekeepers, for example? Or why are there useful tools or useful idiots? And are they doing this on purpose? And I don't think people are actually doing this all on purpose, that people are well-meaning, they have intentions for truth and for, sovereignty and all that. But if we go back to biblical law, and a lot of these original laws, maritime laws, it goes back to biblical law and how they're actually spell casting over us anyway. I'm trying to think. I almost lost my what I was going to make a point. How they speak death
Just to
over us,
interject for a
but
second, just if you look at the term Lord, he who is born of a vessel, or he who comes on a ship, and from what Pierre Sabbat points out is, whenever terms like vessels are invoked in the ancient texts, they're referring to celestial vessels, they're referring to angelic sailors, they're referring to vessels, celestial vessels crewed by alien beings. Over and over and over, this comes up in all the different languages. It's very plain when you get into it. So even the terms we use, Lord of the heavenly host means invading alien army. Literally, that's literally what it means if you track the philology and the etymology behind it. And yet how many people every single Sunday in these worship services, God bless them, they're invoking the Lord of the heavenly host. That's the invading alien army that they're invoking. So clearly, the language has been subverted to the point where we literally are spellcasting ourselves constantly, and we don't realize it.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, I can't remember. I was going to make a point, and I don't remember. But they're subverting, co-opting, corrupting some original biblical law, where there's always like a underlying truth that is actually true, that has been co-opted, subverted, perverted, within larger organizations. Let's say the Roman Catholics. That's a huge example of that. The church post what the Roman. How they subverted and co-opted the whole truth behind Jesus Christ, which really revealed the shenanigans and the sons of vipers and the name stealers and the Baal worshippers, the blood worshippers, the whole nine yards of the shit you don't want, and then got blamed and crucified. And then, within a short period of time, his truth is pretty much co-opted in the larger organizational structures. But it doesn't mean that we can't have a personal relationship with the deep truth of that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our own spirit, in our own heart. And that's where it's let's just say that, well, I say what I see what the dark side is doing, that they're claiming so much power and so much knowledge and so much of what the dark side is doing, that we're just all hopeless and there's no truth at all. And let's say the original truths that really are true that give us power. So they try to take away our faith in what the truth is by making it like it's all about them after all. And they created everything and they didn't create everything. So that's part of how they subvert and try to create, this defeatist, it's like a defeatist spiritual warfare.
Well, we see that all the time. Most recently with the Aurora Borealis and the Aurora Australis, you look at from the glass half empty, glass half full perspective. So many people chimed in and said, "Oh, that's HAARP, that's scalar weaponry, that's directed energy." Well, maybe, maybe not. The fundamental constants are changing. There is another solar system within our own, the Planet X system, and energy is streaming in from the galactic center. We're going to see whether there was any scalar weaponry or Tesla weaponry or HAARP weaponry at all. Well, we're going to see, we're in the midst of now all these earth changes going on. They were destined to happen, and the powers that be knew this. Now, is it possible? Is it reasonable to assume that knowing that we're going to have this big light display due to these celestial factors in the recent past few weeks, that powers of be will say, "Okay, well, let's shut everything off. Let's shut off HAARP. Let's shut off the CERN, and let's just see what happens." Or is it just as likely that they tweak the knobs even more? Well, let's see what happens, because they're psychopaths, right? And they're sociopaths, entity infested. A lot of these people tweaking the knobs and pushing the buttons. What if? What if we crank up this machinery even more and see what happens? So that's possible too. I'm not saying that's the case, but the underlying template of these earth changes, for lack of a better term, but it's actually solar system wide, galactic wide, many in a sense, they're going to happen whether or not anyone activates this technology. So, Bernard Gunther pointed out that it's almost a Rorschach test. When anything happens, the reactions that elicits out of people. So we talked about this decades ago, the chicken little factor, where everything is like, "Oh, the sky is falling," and people get so habituated, so used to that level of frantic paranoia, if you will, that the signal to noise ratio increases. So when something real comes down the pipe,
All
they're just
right.
overtaken by event, right? And
Right.
that's what we're seeing now, that they can't see the difference between, like, say, a natural phenomena and an enhanced technologically induced phenomena, right? And there are shades of gray between, like I said. But every time there's going to be an upcoming emergency broadcasting system test, every time there's going to be a FEMA test or Jade Helm simulation coming up, the same crowd starts chirping about, "Turn your phones off, put your phones in the microwave. You're going to get all these alerts. It's going to scramble your brain and what have you." And then when nothing happens, then you see a whole new stream of posts and memes on Facebook and social media. "I survived the zombie apocalypse because it didn't happen." See? So there's someone out there that's clever, that's capitalizing on these Chicken Little fears. I don't rule out the possibility of a zombie apocalypse, not with all the nanocircuitry running inside people, graphene growing inside of corpses still, right? There's no telling what's going to happen. You see the gigantic 5G towers situated conveniently right next to cemeteries. What's that all about, right? Because I'm such a skeptic, I'm open to possibility, right? I don't put anything beyond the realm of possibility with the capabilities I know that exist. Because you and I have a very good understanding from a personal basis what capabilities there are. We're not talking theoretical here. We know teleportation exists. We know these black ops military units can literally walk through walls now because that's what the aliens have been doing for a long time. They learned this from the aliens. And we know that there's time shift, time travel capability. So, for people like us, it's easier to stay on an even keel, whereas people that only see the surface level, anything can set them off, Evie.
Yeah, it's a triggered response of the, what I call the Hegelian dialectic or the multiple choice answers that you only should choose from that will decide on what you should think or believe or react to. And that's part of the programming of how they know these things are going to happen. So how we might program them if it does, how we're going to channel it. So that's another way of kind of perceiving it. One of the things that I've seen, and quote, as a therapist, if someone has unrecovered trauma, complex trauma like CPTSD, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, aka Pete Walker's work and definition of complex trauma, reactive styles such as fight, flight, freeze, fawn, or combinations of them, which can manifest in certain personality disorders that are described in the classical literature of the psychology, like, the narcissist versus the empath codependent or the freeze response schizoid or whatever. So those are when we have unrecovered trauma, that means we're still believing something from an early part of ourself that experienced the trauma. And it's usually shame-based, like, there must be something wrong with me. I'm bad, I'm wrong, or hatred, or something that, let's say, a perpetrator did, or an event you actually projected on yourself or others in a way that distorts truth. So if truth is distorted, sometimes the catastrophe, what do you call it, the catastrophizing paranoia will overtake reason, so that the limbic brain of the programmed unrecovered trauma dominates the belief system and the thinking and the reactivity, so that they rely on that, so that we get paranoid and catastrophize about what they may want us to believe in. That's part of the Hegelian dialectic. You have to choose a side. So that's part of the programming. So really, how to become clear and work from a spontaneous truth is to recover truly from the trauma by basically recovering where the traumas occurred that might have created splits. And the reason why I'm so dedicated to what I'm doing and learning all the time is because in many of the certainly MK Ultra and ritual abuse and many of the MyLabs, SSP, what they're calling, have had foundational traumatic split programming and traumas from either their families of origin, which were the primary abusers, or a cult system or military or orphanage social system that were able to do foundational trauma split programming to them, so that they're assets in some way, but they may not know with their outer personality that's functioning in the world. So we have to be able to get to the root of traumas to be able so they can no longer access us. So one of the things that I just came across, actually, the video came out last night and today, is Gabby Chung, who's an Australian survivor of ritual abuse, did a whole decoding on the Sleeping Beauty, Awaken the Sleeping Beauty programming, which the movie Barbie, the new movie, and many other of the Disney's, like the Snow White and the, there's many other Disney, because they always use Disney in the early programming, even since the 50s when those movies came out. And they use that as the foundational programming. But one of the things that she brought up that I think is very key to understanding is when they do a split trauma of, let's say, the Sleeping Beauty. The early trauma happened. You're talking about a pre-verbal toddler. Okay. So they don't understand human reasoning or even language. They do that so young so that those trauma splits are still functioning under the Sleeping Beauty programming, for example. And so she decodes everything on the occult level in the Luciferian system of how they're programming them. And then when they want to awaken the Sleeping Beauty, which is a end times programming, that Sleeping Beauty that awakens will awaken to the programming to bring out and follow the Antichrist New World Order agenda, which is the Luciferian umbrella. And it could be the dark or the light side of the system. So it doesn't always mean the bad stuff that's obvious. So they're like 2-year-old parts that haven't been healed that are going to be accessed no matter how awake you think you are on your waking personality and how well and knowledgeable you think you are. So we have to get to the early splits and the spiritual forces that have enslaved and allowed that black magic covenants and blood oaths and curses to be a stronghold that had, dominated that person's life from childhood. And so that's the part that I think people don't understand. They don't understand the early, you have to get to the early split programming. And it's not going to be what's obvious at 6 years old or 12 years old or when you were a teenager. This is like pre-verbal shit. So this is, and it's like, it's so well hidden. Nobody knows until they start like uncovering it. And so Gabi did a really good job at decoding and talking about her own awakening. And it's with, she learned it within Christian prayers that got through the strongholds of the black magic that deliberately create this programming. So, and what's unfortunate and uncomfortable, I think, with a lot of the people who consider themselves truthers or spirituality, it's ensconced, a lot of this is ensconced in New Age programming through the Blavatsky and the Isis, the ancient Egyptian, and then people have normalized all these quote healing methods for people through trauma through the system that has actually programmed them and is waiting as an entrapment system to pull them right back in to the white side of the system instead of maybe the dark side of the system. So we have to, get out from under the whole thing and actually recognize it for what it is and how it manifests. And this is where it's really tricky. And there's a lot of disagreements, I think, with a lot of people who are claiming to be healers. And then I'm not going to mention names or groups or, but I've seen this in my own practice where people have been misled. Let's say, for example, and I've talked about this before, is well the twin flame thing, and they'll go to an angel card reader who does special invocations to get your angel guides to bring you your twin flame, and they do their invocations and their little woo woo that sounds like wonderful healing, and they're gonna find your twin flamey this or that, and then what comes in the astral is maybe a reptilian or Draco hosted human who is the quote twin flame that has the characteristics of a mostly narcissistic personality disorder with a hosted entity. And then they go through this dyad and this relationship from hell. Oh, but it's your twin flame. You got to work out your issues. And, that's just the runner. And you just got to work more on your shadow parts. And it's all about how you just need to become more perfect so that your twin flame can come back to you or whatever the excuse is to try to justify a completely dysfunctional narcissistic relationship with a friggin' host. Okay. And this is like the normalization and the enabling of the predators who are hosted or those who don't appear to be narcissistic. Maybe they're the empath that thinks they're really special and they're a channeler or they're a whatever, but they're like totally unhealed and they may have deep foundational splits and not know it because they're running the program. So I'll stop here because I know you have a lot to say about. You might have seen
Well,
this in other
that's
movies.
a great breakdown from a New Age, spiritualist cult type perspective. And we see that cult mentality reflected in all these different institutions, the military, politics,
Yeah.
ecological movement, et cetera, there are pathologies that you can cross-reference that tie in directly to all these different institutions across the board, which shows once again this is a planetary issue. This is a global issue. And you talked about the generational curses. I thought that was key because there are particular ethnicities, there are particular cultures in certain parts from certain parts of the world that are big time entity infested, big time suffering from generational curses, where it's pretty much an open secret that incest and pedophilia are the norms for some of those cultures. So it's not just that these children are being split and traumatized at an early age. Coming from that culture, for lack of a better term, whether it's in our energy bodies, somewhere in our brain, or combination of both, whatever the case may be, for lack of a better term, there seem to be receptors that enable, just as there's opioid receptors that people have, there seems to be these spiritual receptors that make it easy for these familiar spirits, these transgenerational entities that we're familiar with, and that's where the term familiar comes from, to latch on to each succeeding generation. So what they've done is they've taken these cultures where incest is the norm, where misogyny is the norm, where beatings, humiliation, shame is the norm, and they've transplanted them lock, stock, and barrel into the West. Oh, look, there's a white girl exposing her arm skin. She's got a short sleeve shirt. That's an open invitation for gang rape, right? And so, that's where this cultural enrichment comes from. So what you've described is what's going on around society, but entire migration invasion movements have been based on that premise of multi-generational abuse, multi-generational hosting, multi-generational black magic. And some of these Near Eastern, Middle Eastern, South Asian cultures, they're constantly spinning curses at each other. Cousins against cousins, cursing each other, sending hexes to each other, sending jinn at each other. That's the norm for their cultures.
Well,
And
like the
so,
Bruce Lee story,
what's that?
like the Bruce Lee, there's a lot of that in the Taoist sorcerers and the martial artists. And Bruce Lee was a target of a
Oh,
lot
big
of
time.
magic. Yeah, and that's like very common in that culture.
It's very common. So, on the one hand, through the Enlightenment, so-called, there's another inversion oxymoron, and the outgrowth, succeeding generations that were indoctrinated into the Enlightenment concept, nonsense, really, that there is no supernatural, there is no spiritual realm or world that interfaces with ours. Everything is mechanistic. Everything can be described through mathematics and science, right? Meanwhile, the leading lights of those movements, they're members of the Golden Dawn. They practice Enochian magic, right? So they know. They foist this through the institutions, once again, those institutions all across the board, into dumbing them down and detuning from the fact that this larger supernatural landscape around us that is around us but also works through us. And then now they've upped the ante because the people are so dumbed down now. Even when they see these Eurovision satanic sect pot trash musical performances, if you want to call them that, or these Super Bowl supernatural extravaganzas, people just sit there, ooh, that's so cool, look at that. Oh yeah, there's these demons dancing on stage. That's pretty cool, and the music sucks, by the way, right?
Yeah, and they're taking
So
part in being affected by the frequencies of the music and
that
everything. So,
too, that there was that case where it was in Houston where the people going to this concert, they had to enter into this big gaping mouth of it like a demonic entity to go into the venue, and then once there they start getting beamed with some frequency that's causing people to have heart attacks, and then they try to spin it out. Oh, the pressure in front of the stage was so great that people, nonsense. I've been up front. at concerts back in the day where I was getting crushed. I know what a packed audience looks like in front of the stage. And I was looking at some of these videos. No, they're not packed up there. There's no waves of people swaying back and forth, the feet not even touching the ground, which used to happen to me until I got smart and decided to be in the seats after that, right? So
Yes, I
they
remember.
oh yeah. Oh yeah, I was looking down at the floor at the Oakland Auditorium,
Oh, we all
ACDC.
remember Days on the Green.
Oh,
Remember those?
I went to
Went to
Danzy on
the
the
first
Greens.
green.
What's
And I
that?
have to say, I'm old. I went to one of the first Days on the Green. We saw Crosby, Stills, Nash, and I think Young was still with them, the Beach Boys, the Grateful Dead. It was like the best concert ever. But
Yeah.
then after they started doing several of them, then the dark energy started moving in a little bit more. But
Yeah.
in the early days, there was actually some really good concerts and
Oh,
really
there were
good
some great
music.
concerts. It's a whole day, right? It was good vibes and everything. Now everything has just been subverted. And what's interesting, as part of my like healing journey, let's say, I'm kind of a nostalgic type, as you know. I'm really into history and what have you. And I've been watching these videos of some of my old favorite teams from the early 70s. And I'm talking about NFL football gridiron, the Dallas Cowboys, for example. And the people that recorded these games, and it's a walk down memory lane because it makes me feel good to be able to go and watch these things, right? But sometimes these the people who recorded these on VHS, they recorded the commercials too. And what's
Oh.
interesting is you see the contrast from the commercials back then. They're all these goofy, geeky guys, light beer, you know, and these car commercials, and everything was pretty much over the top. Nothing is woke. You don't really see much Illuminati type programming. And then fast forward to today, people are going to these concerts. They're keeling over. They're dead from these frequencies. Everything on the stage is satanic, and the obliviousness is such that, oh yeah, surface level truthers can see that, right? They still don't really understand the supernatural dynamic to it because there's some kind of blockage going on. But the main masses, the fans of those kinds of musical artists, are still completely oblivious. So what we're seeing now, Evie, like compared our day compared to what's going on now, the level of obliviousness with your average person in the street, and especially the younger generations, where like college students today, they can't even tell the time on a normal clock face. They
Wow.
have problems with simple arithmetic. You want to get back a even amount of change, at the
Oh,
store.
wow.
So when you do use cash, it's like you drop in an extra 26 cents or something to get the
Oh, they don't
exact.
even know how to do that. It's like I do it all in my head. I know exactly what change they give me without I calculate it all in my head.
Yes.
But I don't think people do that anymore.
No, they
Like,
can't do that. No. So what we're seeing, it's very much like the Morlocks and the Eloi, which H.G. Wells was talking about in his Time Machine saga, right? Where there's these oblivious people on the surface, and at nighttime, these Morlocks, these deformed mutants from underground, come up, seize these Morlocks, Eloi rather, and take them down for consumption. And the people are so pacified that even
wow.
when they see right in front of them a Morlock come out of the caves and grab somebody, they don't even bat an eyelash. It's not even like, well, better thee than me. It's like they don't even think. It's like,
I
they're.
want to comment because this is classic. And this has happened over and over. I mean, this happened to me in my own life where you have a broad daylight alien abduction where a craft comes and except it may come in whatever form you can perceive it as a kid because you don't know how to even conceptualize UFOs, right? But during those events, they'll switch off everybody around you and they get you and they'll make it no, they don't notice nothing. It's just like they don't see. And I believe that there's a type of put asleep programming when abductions are taking place, but there's also a type of you talked about the passivity of the people who lived above ground versus was it the Morlocks who lived underground? I don't remember what, but this passivity program, you actually talked about it in one of your early articles. But this is also something, and I want to go back to where you were talking about cultural and generational incest and abuse that may come from cultures over many generations. And this is something that has been observed and confirmed as fact by Kathy O'Brien in her testimony of being used as a MK Ultra monarch programmed slave in within political and different functions, but they chose her because she was already from a multi-generational incest sexual abuse family that already had this dysfunction. And it's probably like in narcissistic abuse to the nth degree. So part of what her testimony has been is that they not only choose people to do, let's go an extra step. We already know these families got it, and they've got the spiritual permissions from the oaths and the abuse and all the iniquity. Then let's just put them into another government MK Ultra application with military applications with extra, technology to do a little bit better programming for other applications in the physical world that might be different from just a ritual abuse survivor. Okay, but what she definitely confirmed is that usually within 3 generations, and they've known this. I remember Arizona Wilder telling me this personally, that within 3 generations, they will have a, let's say, a skill or a particular quality like passivity or musical ability or whatever, that within 3 generations of having a normalization of abuse to keep the secrets of sexual abuse, that creates a passivity in the resulting women, let's say the mothers whose daughters are being sexually abused, and they just don't see it and they just enable it. Well, there's nothing you can do. Everything, you just have to do, and don't make your father angry. And it's just kind of like this worse than Stepford Wives passivity that is bred into the survivors so that even if you are being horrifically abused, you don't actually appropriately respond or react in a way to get help. And you just normalize the abuse and the powerlessness. There's really nothing you can do about it, kind of. And they do this on purpose so that this passivity, not seeing it and enabling the predators, is an imbued genetic program.
Yeah.
So this is
Well, there's
something.
now videos that show, and these are people making a point of the indifference and apathy of society, where they set it up where someone will run up, grab a kid that's sitting on a bus stop or walking down the sidewalk, grab them and then run off with them or duck down the alleyway. And the people that are passersby, they don't even notice that someone has picked up. I mean, it's all a setup. It's to show that the level of indifference and apathy is such that they don't even care when this stuff happens. They don't, they not only that they don't care, that they tune it out,
Yeah,
that
like
they're
New York or
seemingly.
like cities. It seems like in bigger cities that's more obvious, like in,
Yes.
oh, don't get involved or you'll get
Yes.
mugged too, whatever. They won't help. And
Yes.
I've seen videos even recently of like I don't know, like older white women being attacked by groups of, gang thugs who are, racially, well, they're the black ones. I'm not saying that all are bad,
Yeah,
but they're
there's the
beating them up.
disclaimer, right?
Nobody is coming to the rescue of, and it could be a man or it could be anyone, but nobody's
Yes.
going to help the victim. And like,
Yes.
what's going on there? Like, people are so afraid.
And the ones that are of the same ethnicity or culture of the violent offenders, they just stand there and they videotape it. But like, what do they do with these videos? Like when they say, okay, videotape me as I go beat up this, little under sized, outnumbered little white boy, right? I mean, a child, right? Just beat the crap out of him. Like, what do they do? They sit around, they watch these videos later and get off on it a second time. It's
Oh, it's like
bizarre, but it shows a
self-care.
level of spiritual disconnection at work, right?
Yes.
And so when you talked earlier about the spiritual bypassing, as some people refer to it as, and you talk about the passivity. That's what a big part of the New Age spiritualist movement was about, to
Oh,
channel
yeah.
everything away from, well, as Carlos Castaneda's mentor says, and what the ancients have said all along, that we're under this non-human control system, detunes people from that, and then it all becomes this highfalutin effort, and there is merit to doing shadow work. I absolutely 100% agree with that. But that whole concept has been subverted and like hijacked essentially. So to the point where, and we see extremes of this in some of the Eastern religions where everything is Maya. I'm going to sit here in a lotus position, all the starvation, oppression, and tyranny all around me, not my problem, right? course it's your problem because it's happening around you. It's in your community, right? Of course it's your problem. How can it not be? So, but what they've done with the spiritual with New Age movement is they've turned everything into this exalted effort at self-realization at the expense of recognizing the control system around us, right? You talked about it earlier with the twin flame thing. So even when all the narcissism, abuse, and oppression comes in, because they're making these unwitting traps of agreement, as Bernard Gunther would call it, even when it's happening, they're in denial as to the reasons behind it, that they willingly gave permission for this kind of thing to take place. And so what we're seeing now is an extreme example of that, where we're having this migrant invasion going on. Many of them military age people, many of them entity infested and hosted generationally. Families of multi-generational abuse, entity
Yes.
infestation, the whole nine yards, being brought into largely a pacified country, largely a pacified West, through gun control, through Marxist indoctrination, right? I mean, if they're ever serious about bringing the West back into any level of normalcy and decency, the first thing they need to do, which won't happen until this whole wretched system is discarded, the first thing that needs to go is these wretched institutions like the universities and the colleges, where they don't teach them basic skills like grammar and math and things like that. They teach them all about feelings and microaggressions and
Well, yeah, in the old days, we actually had more standards of education where we had to use. I mean, even before the calculators, we had to learn how to do things mathematically, with a slide rule or in your head, or learn how to problem solve naturally by knowing the basic things about nature or chemistry or
yes. Well,
whatever. I mean, that's
Skunk Works engineers developed the SR-71 Blackbird spy plane, hypersonic. I mean, it was Mach 3, and there's things faster than that now. But they did all that with slide rulers. They didn't have the kind of computers that we take for granted. It was all brain power back then.
I'm trying to remember what I was going to say because we've been through so many
Well, in the time we got left in the first segment, and we'll dance around this subject, but it needs to be brought out that there are a lot of people out there that give this impression of being a healer, of being a therapist, of being a counselor, right? And you're looking at some of the extremes of that are people that present themselves as counselors or consultants or healers, but they're actually very nefarious, evil
unhealed.
people. I mean, some of these people are actually astral rapetoids, some of the
I mean,
males.
I've met some, I mean, and in my own personal experience, but I can't speak of it because it was so dangerous, with really high level ones,
Somewhat
that,
popular, well known in our field too, right?
and they knew what they were doing. They were conscious of being handlers on high levels who had donated goyim souls to the high level dark powers, and they knew what they were doing, and then they were used as like brilliant gatekeepers of a lot of really good knowledge that would bring in people who are just awakening, and they start to know there's a bit of a Machiavellian thing going on, and they know there's spiritual warfare and they're having interference and they're waking up from their own abuse, but they don't know they're a survivor. And then they go to these people who are set to entrap them and act as like really large level handlers, and if you don't comply, they'll kill you.
They know enough about the ancient mysteries. They know enough about the original Gnosis, okay, that they can talk a big game. And then they add in this kind of anti-authoritarian, I'm against a new world order, I'm against negative aliens, all this stuff. They can talk the talk, but the fruit is bitter fruit that's hanging off their trees.
I don't know until years later. I mean, I'm because I hear things and then I got to keep it confidential because I'm a therapist. But meanwhile, I hear a lot of testimonies of people who have been hurt very much by some of these high level predators actually in the field set to entrap and, use them and spin their tails or whatever. And It's like you said, it's the bitter fruit over time. And I remember now what I was going to say, and it has to do, it's actually a biblical passage, somewhere in the New Testament. But if we exchange the truth for a lie, sometimes this happens in trauma, right? We don't want to know the truth because we would die. So we have to split our identities and believe, let's say, a shame. So if we accept a lie rather than the truth, that puts a veil over our consciousness to not be able to perceive clearly what the truth is, even outside of us. So, like well-meaning people who it's like they can't see the truth and they can't see what's going on under their noses. A lot of the agreements of entrapment has to do with lies that we are believing as truth. And when that is substituted, we can't get the truth of the spirit of truth inside of us to give us discernment to see what is right there. So that means it's like a lot of unveiling of things that aren't really true that we, and it's like a therapeutic, trauma recovery kind of, self-exploration that has to be done on really deep levels so that discernment returns. And then when you wake up, you might be a little, oh my God. You know what I mean? Yeah.
What helped us is, well, helped me at any rate, is, being aware of this non-human control factor. And I've been consciously aware since 1990, but I was fearful of the concept for years before that. When I would see, I'd be laying in bed and I would see this blue beam of light shining down, doing a search pattern on my floor when I was in high school. It's like, that's unusual. And for a moment, the word alien popped into my brain. Ooh, no, don't go there. Don't think about that. Don't think about aliens, right? Meanwhile, there's this bluish white beam of light doing this, search grid on my floor in my bedroom, right? So there is a level of denial, a negation of the reality around you. And that's part of the programming, right? But eventually, or at least for some of us, we have an experience or a series of experiences that are so blatant, so in your face, that you have to come to grips with the fact that there is this non-human reality behind us. And like for example, back in the day, if you remember, there was a critical time in our field, late 80s, early 90s, when some of the early MyLabs were coming up with their stories. Alicia Davidson, Southern California, Pasadena area, Diane Johnston. You had Diane Johnson, rather. Leah Haley came out. Katarine Wilson. And I really connected with Leah because, I was going through so much harassment back in that time frame, when she came out. MyLab related, if you remember back in those days, it was like harassment and interference all across the board. And it reinforces the notion that, well, there must be something behind this whole alien thing if there's this already in place existing structure to, like, deny, ridicule, harass, intimidate, eliminate, right? When that happens and you're on the receiving end of that, you realize that there is this gigantic structure in place that's ready to just come down like a ton of bricks, literally. And not that I would wish this upon anyone else, but a lot of people haven't gone through that. They may have gone through, the targeted individual thing, and that I'm not talking necessarily about that. I'm talking about a recognition that the reason it's happening, at least for some people, is because the individual that's the subject of all the harassment has a recognition that there are aliens involved. Not only that there are aliens involved, but there is an ongoing interaction between deep black elements of the military aerospace community with said aliens. So we're talking about a double cross all the way down the line. As you know, I mean, any kind of a foreign treaty has to be ratified by the Senate. And here they are making all these deals, these back alley deals with these aliens, crying out loud. Oh yeah, you can abduct as many people as you want. Just
Kind
give
of
us
like a
some know-how and
Faustian
give us some
bargain.
technology. What's that?
It's a Faustian bargain done
It's a
in
Boston bargain.
they keep trying to hide their tracks, and then the lies get bigger and bigger, and then pretty soon they can't hide that, oh, they've been doing bad juju all along. You
Well,
know?
that's why we see this big pushback in the thwarted congressional hearings, because the people that they've put in place to oversee these committees, they work for Boeing, they work for Raytheon, they work for Lockheed. They're on the payroll, so of course they're going to say that it's nonsense. And look at the alacrity with which these surface level truthers, how they just roll with it, right? It's like, oh, NASA, everything is fake, everything is CGI. But then when NASA says, oh, no, there are no aliens, oh, it's true. NASA said aliens don't exist. I'll go with that. Well, wait a minute. You're just saying that everything that earlier, that everything that NASA says, the ISS, it's all fake, it's all a hoax. Now when NASA says aliens don't exist, you buy into that? That's a built-in contradiction. But the surface level types do this all the time because it conflicts with their Christian Zionist programming, their fundy programming, right?
Minus,
So
yeah.
you look at what's happened with Jeffrey Epstein, right? Now Gareth Icke has interviewed this gal, a survivor. You're probably familiar with the story. She said she saw Jeffrey Epstein shapeshift into, lack of a better term, a reptilian. Okay,
Okay.
now that poses problems for these surface level types, right? It does, because they're always chirping about how there are no aliens, there's only demons. Well, what is
Yeah.
Jeffrey Epstein? You can't say he's a demon because he flies around in jets. He's got submarines. He's got digital devices and it probably advanced communication systems that he stays in comms with his nefarious colleagues with. Okay,
Oh yeah. Well,
so
they're
how
like,
can you?
what do you call it? Aliens in human suit bodies.
Yeah.
But that's been known for quite some time. And that's something we could talk about on the following segment because it's
Yeah.
something that's relating to we'll call it the homunculus and the aliens in human bodies that have been engineered for certain fallen
Well, let's
ones.
do that. And a quick point before we take our break. An example of that cherry picking is Alex Jones is always chirping about, oh yeah, I had E. Howard Hunt on his grandson or son or whoever on my show, and he admitted that E. Howard Hunt told him on his deathbed that, they assassinated Kennedy. That E. Howard Hunt was in on it. E. Howard Hunt was one of the infamous plumbers who deliberately did a shoddy black bag job at the Watergate Hotel. You know the story. It was a bloodless coup to get rid of Nixon. But see, to assassinate a sitting president, that is an extreme, extreme response, right? They don't have to do that. They can just surround them with minders. That you look at Idiot Joe, right? That's an example. You don't have to bump off a sitting president. You
Oh, good
just mind
God.
control them. You just, surround them with minders. You just take away all decision-making power, et cetera, et cetera. What made JFK different was he wanted to reveal the existence of aliens, right? So when a guy named Caddy, his last name is Caddy, who was the personal attorney for E. Howard Hunt, when he comes out and says, well, I asked E. Howard Hunt, why did you guys kill Kennedy? And then E. Howard Hunt says he was going to reveal our greatest national secret. And Patty said, well, what's that? He said, the alien presence.
And the
But,
families who are the
and,
abductees, because they had
yes.
lists with
Well,
the lists,
yes.
and they still have those lists. Yeah.
Well, so that's an example of cherry picking because Alex Jones won't go there. He will cite forever and a day how E. Howard Hunt's
Amazing.
son or grandson or whatever admitted he was in on the assassination. But when it comes down to the reasons behind the assassination, it was coming from Caddy, E. Howard Hunt's own personal attorney. They don't want to go there. See, that's cherry picking, right? And we see that all the time because it conflicts with the Christian Zionist programming. When you hear
Well,
about a lot of these surface level, mostly kind of Christian Zionist truthers, podcasters, etc., most of them don't even realize they're Christian Zionists. And when they talk about their high-level woo-woo sources in Delta Force, what have you, those high-level woo-woo sources are Christian Zionists, right?
they might be MKUltra assets
That
from
too.
hierarchy families because it's amazing how they've done it, and they've done it so well, and it's very sad.
It is. Well, it's time for a break. So, Evie, how can people find your work?
Well, yeah, my website, evelorgan.com, my email, elorgan@gmail.com, and my Alien Love Bite Telegram group. That's the best way to do that for now. And I'm still updating as I can. I can't get as much done as I'd like, but there's always a way to get in contact with me. So, yeah.
And to our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.